this is all you start with, okay.
Or turn out, I just mean that red light.
No, that's just all.
Okay.
We're fine and technical.
I asked the wrong one. If you have a Bible tonight, Ezekiel chapter number 37. We thank the Lord for what our hearts have already heard and felt today. Thank the Lord for the good preaching and the good singing. I don't know about you. I don't need to hear no more. I done heard more now than I want to give an account for. I tell you, several of you boys have made it real clear, and I appreciate it. I tell you, Brother Dana made Jesus real clear last night.
Yes.
I didn't go out of here wondering what he thought about Jesus being in Babylon, did you?
No.
I thank the Lord for the good preaching and how pointed it's been, and speaking to our own hearts. We began last night just looking at some thoughts on the subject of the Holy Ghost. We reminded you of the old song of yesterday. Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. And the songwriter said, all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. We so desperately need Him in this hour.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know how many services we probably have without Him. And unless He comes, there'll be no divine business transacted. I wonder how many people have made professions and He was nowhere around. You can't get in if He's not around. Oh, tonight how we need Him. And we began last night looking at the little thought of what is the Spirit of the Holy One like? We mentioned last evening that He's like a dove. Of course, if the Holy Ghost comes, He'll not be pushing Himself, but He'll be pushing Christ. And we noticed last night in this dove work, if the dove settles in on the situation, He will manifest the controlling work of Christ. Tonight, I'd like to go further in our study tonight. The Holy Ghost is such a complex being. He's not easily understood nor explained. And the Bible has so many verse and sundry pictures for Him. I want us to see tonight that the Spirit of the Holy One, He's like the wind. He's like the wind. There are two words, one used in the Hebrew in the Old Testament, one used in the Greek in the New Testament, especially the Greek word, pneuma. It is one word, but always translated in our English Bible in three words. The word spirit, the word wind, the word breath, they are all the same word from the original. But in order to explain that one word out of the original, take three English words to explain it. He's a very complex being tonight. He's not easily explained, not easily understood. And if the wind of God was to blow, He will produce the convincing work of Christ. Y'all had the wind to blow here recently. Convinced a lot of y'all in various and sundry things. Convinced some of you to make a run for it. It was smart in your part. You never know where the wind might blow. Of course, the next time it came, convinced some of you to just stay put. Let Him take care of it. It's amazing what the wind can convince you to do tonight. it will produce the convincing work of Christ. Tonight, as we look in this text, if we could, I want to just mention two or three texts with the wind of God in them. It is in Ezekiel chapter 37. We are confronted with the way of the wind. I didn't know if you realized it or not, but the wind of God, He will have His way. He will have His way. I notice in this text that it is a forceful way. It is a forceful way. I have said this before. I'll say it again. We are living in a day and age where many do not believe that God will make you do anything. I heard the lady sing not long ago, and she said before she sang that God was a gentleman. He wouldn't make you do anything you don't want to do. I leaned over to Beth and said, "Do you reckon Jonah thought he was a gentleman?" Matter of fact, I didn't know if you noted or not, but you'll never do anything from God, from getting saved to doing anything for Him, unless He makes you do it. It is totally contrary to your nature. Forceful way. Notice this forceful way, if you would. Ezekiel said in verse number 1, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit." There is that little word. One word of the Hebrew, one word in the Greek. Translated spirit, wind, and breath. That little word carried there, it means to pluck up. Pluck up and force to go. "Hey, Ezekiel, how'd you get out here in this valley? The wind blowed me out here. I did not come out here on my own." Watch the text. He said He carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord. Set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me. There's an interesting word. We're talking about a forceful wind tonight. The little word "cause" there, it means to appoint to a willingness. It means to make willing. Boy, I don't like that, preacher. Take it up with God. He's the one who wrote this thing. I'm just telling you what the words mean. Caused, forcefully. I notice in verse number 5 of this same text, "Then saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause." There's that little word again, to make willing or appoint to a willingness. He said, I will cause breath to enter into you and ye shall live." Talking about a forceful way. You know how come you got saved tonight? God forced air into you. You'd have never gotten saved any other way. I was wondering tonight, you got any historical recollection of a holy God ever coming to you one day and forcing air into you? Oh, I remember it like it was yesterday. I remember the morning in 1968 when He forced air into me. I come down through God's birth canal. I said death to the other world. And the first eternal breath of air I caught, I wanted to cry out. You got any historical recollection of anything like that ever happening to you? Oh, I'm telling you tonight, the only way you can ever get saved tonight is that God would force the breath of God into you. Huh? Oh, Well, how else would a dead person live? Listen, he was to breathe into us. I heard a preacher years ago tell me one time, he said, you know, I don't think man is as dead as you preach him. I said, sure enough. I said, that little passage over in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1, and you hath he quickened who was dead. I asked him, I said, you ever check that Greek word dead out there? He said, no, what is it? It's awful deep. I don't know if you can handle it or not. It might be over your head. It's the word corpse. You ever been down to the funeral home and the guy would open the door and tell you, Miss Smith's in this room, she's half dead. And Bubba's in that room, he's three quarters dead. And Lula Bell's in the back, she's all dead. Now, if you're a corpse, you are all dead. You can give them gospel tracts, you can witness to them, and you can sing Amazing Grace until you're blue in the face. And I ain't against none of that. But if God don't blow air into them, they ain't coming alive. And that's the only way you and I got in, was from a forced air. Oh, I bless the day that he forced himself upon me. Made me willing in the day of his power. Not only do we see in this text that forceful way, that breath, that forced breath into it. But verse number 6, he says, I will lay sinew upon you and will bring up a flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you. That little word breath there, it means to cause, to know, to understand. Oh, when God breathes the breath of the Holy Ghost into us, it awakens us and we know him. Oh, I'm glad for the day that he forced air into me. What a change it made in. Did you notice the change in these bones? Verse 11 said, then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried. Our hope is lost. We are cut off. That was my condition when God found me. I was hopeless. I was cut off from the commonwealth of Israel. I was a corpse. I couldn't get to God. But God came to me and breathed air into me. And I was alive. Notice the change that it made in me. Verse number 14, he shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live. I shall place you in your own land. Then ye shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. I'm telling you tonight, it is a forceful way. Glad for the day God forced his air into me. But I notice in this text, not only is it a forceful way, but it is a fruitful way. You know, you'd almost think God wrote the Bible. The way he crosses his T's, dots his I's. Reckon how many times the word spirit, wind, and breath is used in this text. I know y'all probably not dumb enough to count words. Probably don't mean nothing to you. But I just love to count things sometimes and remind myself, man, God's big. He can cross all his teeth, dot all of his I's. Do you know how many times wind, breath, and spirit is mentioned in this Bible? 9 times in this text. What's the big deal about it being 9 times? It's a fruitful way. Do you remember, you'd almost think God wrote the Bible. Hundreds of years later, the Apostle Paul takes up his pen, dips it in ink, and is going to write down the fruit of the Spirit. And he comes up with 9 of them. Whoa. Gracious, you'd think Ezekiel and Paul knowed one another. Oh, here tonight, He has forced air into us. He has forced the wind of God into us. This thing of sanctification is not a struggle. It is not in me trying to do better. It is not in me turning over a new leaf. No, it is me cooperating with the indwelling wind of God, and He produces fruit in me. Not me producing holiness. It's Him producing holiness in me. How can that holiness be reproduced in me? I was wondering tonight, can you live without your respirator? Can you live without your respirator? Sister won't mind because she loves me so much. She's got that tank she carries around all the time with her. She either pushes it like this or pulls it like that. Didn't know if you know it or not, but if you're saved tonight, you can know if God's ever blowed air in you or not. How can I know it? Little verse, I'm going to run it by you. You help me with it. All Scripture is given by what? Oh, grace, y'all smart. Inspiration. Somebody willing to maybe just holler out the definition of inspiration. God breathed. This is the breath of God. This is my respirator. If He has forced air in you, you don't go long without getting you a breath of air. I am amazed at some of you sitting right here tonight. You ain't even got a respirator with you. You had to borrow one out of the pew. Are you? Hey, don't get into that share a respirator. Sister here, she wouldn't share a respirator with nobody. No! Uh-uh. Your own respirator. I'm amazed that some of you come over here on Sunday, get you a little breath, and you can hold your breath till next Sunday. Hey, you ain't holding your breath. Don't fool yourself on that. You've never had forced air blown into you. You might have had religion blown into you. Might have had morality blown into you. But if the Holy Ghost of God ever been blown into you, you won't get far from your respirator. You'll keep wanting to go. As a matter of fact, you'll find yourself sneaking off during the day and getting you a little sniff of it. Huh? I'm talking about the fruitful one. And as you get your breath of that air, He produces sanctification in you. And it's not a struggle. It's God producing His holiness in us. And not only is it a forceful one, not only is it a fruitful way, but I notice in this text it is a fencing way. Look at chapter 37, verse number 9. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds. Preacher, there's not four Holy Ghosts, are there? Oh, no. Only one Holy Ghost. But there's four winds. What is the indication? The little phrase there, four winds, Job uses it. He calls it the circuit of the winds. He gives us the indication that we're surrounded with the wind. Fencing way. Fencing way, surrounded by the wind. I was studying those winds in the Bible. Do you know that the various winds in the Bible produce various and sundry things? Oh, I love that east wind. When that east wind blew, it caused the ears of corn in the Joseph story to shrink. When that east wind blew, it caused Jonah to faint. Oh, that east wind is a contrary wind. Brother Wayne, that's what you preached about this morning. A contrary wind. I was wondering, do you know anything about the Holy Ghost being a contrary wind to you? What in the world are you talking about? I'm talking about Him getting in the way of you and impeding your forward progress. Slowing you down lest you run by your turn. Are you listening to me? Heard about an old guy not long ago. He was real hyper. Somebody asked him if he was going to go to heaven. His buddy said, he'll go there if he don't run by it. Some of you in an awful hurry. Oftentimes God's got to put a contrary wind in front of you. Impede your forward progress so you'll be still. Just sort of put you in a hole. I bless the day that the good Holy Ghost has come by and been a contrary wind and slowed me down and made me be still and know that He is God. Not only can that east wind is a contrary wind, but that west wind. Luke said, Christ speaking, He said that it bringeth the refreshing showers, that west wind. Not only can the Holy Ghost be that contrary wind, but He can be a comforting wind. A what? Comforting wind. I'm reminded of this little thing of a comforting wind. Paul, when he was hearing the last reading of the execution orders in Timothy, he says that no man stood with me. He said when they read the execution, he said, I looked, there was nobody there. Then he said this, notwithstanding, the Lord strengthened. I'm interested in that little word, strengthened me. That little word, strengthened, it is the little word to feel a shivering spring breeze. Paul said, I was a standing there. He said, nobody stood with me. There wasn't a soul there. And then he said, all of a sudden, I felt a breeze. And he said, I shivered. And he said, somebody whispered to me, Paul, I'm here. Oh, I wonder in you. In your darkest hour, have you ever felt them goosebumps go up your spine? You look around to see if somebody's there, and they ain't a soul there. But somebody's done come in that room bigger than life. Oh, I tell you who it is. It's that west wind blowing. He's come to comfort your heart in a dark hour. Oh, I'm talking about a fencing. East wind, the west wind, that north wind. Proverbs said that north wind drives away the storm, brings the blue sky. Oh, not only is he a contrary wind, he's a comforting wind, but he is a cleansing wind. Thank God for the workings of the Holy Ghost, immersing me in Christ, cleansing me from all my sin. You know that little verse over in 1 John says, His blood cleanseth the, ETH, me from all sins. I'm sorry, forgive me. I messed up. I thought when I got saved that He immersed me in that flood from Emmanuel's veins where sinners lose all their guilty stains. I just thought he baptized me in that blood and took me back out. But it's not so. Because it says it cleanseth the ETH. He stuck me in that blood and left me. I'm in a blood bath at all times. It's continually washing all of my sins away. Oh, I'm talking about a cleansing wind, a comfort. comforting wind, a contrary wind, that south wind. Job said the south wind brings a warm calmness to the earth. Oh, not only is he a contrary wind and a comforting wind and a cleansing wind, but he is a calming wind. Oh, he has the ability to still our storms. He has the ability to step out on the bow of the ship. You know that little statement that he made, peace be still? Those are akin to slang words in the original language. The word peace there is the little word shh. I like that, don't you? Did you know he's got the ability to shh whatever's going on in your life tonight? But I love that be still. It is akin to this little thought. You got anything going on in your life tonight you need him to? He can if he wants to. I ain't telling you that he will. I tell you, it just thrills me sometimes to think that he could if he wanted to. Huh? I shout sometimes in the middle of my storm just thinking he could step out on the bow of my storm and go, shh. Flatten it. Oh, I love that, don't you? Oh, I'm telling you tonight, he's got a spit. See, forgive me, I'm so sorry. I always thought he had me hedged about, and it was some kind of invisible fence. You know, like sometimes you put up for a dog, they'll run out there and it'll shock them. I don't know why I thought that. Some stupid thought, I guess. Hey, I'm not hedged in with a thing tonight. I'm hedged in with a person. I'm surrounded by the Holy Ghost. Well, what's he doing? He's keeping some things in, and he's keeping some things out. Oh, I love that, don't you? Well, what is he like? Oh, he's like the wind. Oh, it is a fruitful wind, a fencing wind. It is a forceful wind. Can I mention another text that has wind in it? You got your Bible there? John's Gospel, chapter number 3. Not only do we see the way of the wind. Hey, could I ask a nosy question? You ever felt any wind of God on you? Huh? Some of you are looking at me tonight like a deer caught in headlights. You know how a deer looks like when he's caught in headlights, don't you? I'm asking you a question. Have you ever in your life, I ain't asking you if you've been saved. I'm asking you been down the Romans Road, German Road, French Road. I ain't asking you ever prayed a prayer. I ain't never asked you if you've ever joined a church or go to Sunday school, go 3 times a week, put 10% in the offering plate. I'm asking you tonight, have you ever felt the wind of God on you? I tell you what, if I had never felt the wind of God, I wouldn't go out of this building tonight. Oh, tonight, how we need the wind of God. And especially if I had a loose connection with the respirator tonight, whoa, would I ever check up and see if he's ever forced air into me. But not only do we see the way of the wind, but in John's Gospel, chapter number 3 and verse number 8, we are confronted with the will of the wind. The will of the wind. This is that new birth chapter. He's talking to Nicodemus. And he says this, verse 8, the wind, talking about the Holy Ghost, bloweth where it listeth. That's an interesting word. It's not like that one we use at Christmas time. You know, Santa Claus has got a list, checking it once or twice, see who's naughty or nice. It's not that kind of. He listeth. Notice the will of the wind. I notice in this will of the wind, we are confronted with the where of the wind. Where does the wind blow? He says here he bloweth where he listeth. That little word listeth, to prefer, to choose, to do as one pleases. Do you know where the wind of the Holy Ghost might blow? He doesn't blow anywhere except wherever he pleases. Do you know how come you got forced there and got saved the day you got saved? It's because he wanted to save you. It's the only reason. It pleased him to do it. Oh, I love that, don't you? Oh, you better watch wind. It's very strong. It blows wherever it wants to. Right after y'all had your little hurricanes up here, y'all know here at Calvary I got stormed out of the meeting here. So we's at home. Of course, we didn't get the hurricane. We got y'all's tornadoes y'all didn't want.
Yeah.
I don't know that I wouldn't have took your hurricane. We was watching TV. I noticed it was dark outside. And you know how the TV, they'll zero in on areas and they'll say a tornado is just a few minutes from this area. Well, we was watching the Weather Channel and they zeroed in on an area. And I noticed that the little map said there was a tornado on Beaver Dam Road in Winterville, Georgia. I told Beth, I said, you know, we live on Beaver Dam Road in Winterville, Georgia. Blows wherever it will. Did not hit right on our street, but a few miles from us. A brick home. I'm not talking about a trailer. I'm not talking about a modular home. I'm talking about a foundational brick home. It took it off the foundation. It took it across the street and piled it up like toothpicks. That did not amaze me. What did amaze me, it left the car and the truck parked where it was at the garage, and neither one of them ever moved. That amazed me. How come? See, the wind could come in here tonight and touch the group and leave you alone. Or it could come in here tonight and touch an individual and leave the group alone. Oh, it blows wherever it wills tonight. Oh, I'm just interested in just feeling a little bit of that breeze on me tonight, aren't you? I'm talking about the whir of the wind tonight. You know, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. In order for God to get me saved, it took a torrential wind to blow me into the kingdom. I was raised in a Christian home. Mom and Dad were always did missionary work. But I was a hard head. Oh, gracious, was I ever a hard head. And God had to blow up hurricane torrential winds to blow me into the kingdom. But I was amazed not long ago. My little four-year-old granddaughter. Oh, I don't put a lot of stock in young professions sometimes. But I believe she's just genuinely, gloriously been saved. I've never seen a young girl pray with such power like she prayed. So pointed the way she prayed. Not just little old prayers. I'm talking about deep prayers. And I was thinking, it took a tornado wind to blow me in. But just a little soft breeze blowed her into the kingdom. Oh, I'd have much rather got in her way than the way I got in. But I tell you what, whatever you need tonight, he can crank it up or turn her down. He is a wind that blows wherever he will. But I notice not only the where of the wind in this text, but I notice the work of the wind. He tells Nicodemus in verse number 12 that he wants to tell him heavenly things. He said, but Nicodemus, he said, you're having a hard time understanding earthly things. He tells him in verse 13, he says, and no man hath ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is. Did you notice that? That's in the present tense, is in heaven. What in the world is he trying to get Nicodemus to believe? He's trying to get Nicodemus to believe that he's here and there all at the same time. I don't know about you. I have a hard time understanding that. But I do believe it, don't you? Hey, Brother Bob, I do not understand that message you preached this morning. But I sure do believe it. Yes, huh? You know, there's a lot of you waiting for deep truth. You're waiting until you understand it and then you'll believe it. I'm here to tell you tonight, it don't work like that. You got to believe it and you might understand it, and again, then you might not ever understand it. Oh, I'm glad for the wind that come a blowing my way and caused me to believe some things I ain't never understood. Of course, I don't know how it is about you. I'm sure y'all are much further along than I am, and maybe after a while I'll cut the lights out and watch your halos glow. But 99.9% of everything I believe about God, I ain't never understood. 99.9% of everything I believe about God, I ain't never understood. It ain't never quit me from believing. How come? Because the wind of God has worked in me a desire to believe whether I understand it or not. I like that, don't you? I'm talking about the wear of the wind and the work of the wind. Could I mention one last little text that's got wind in it? And I'm done, because I want to hear some more about that Jesus down in Babylon. Acts chapter number 2. Not only do we see the way of the wind, the will of the wind, but we see the witness of the wind. Acts chapter number 2, Pentecost. The Bible says in verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing, mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. We know this is Pentecost. We know this is the filling of the Holy Ghost. That little word that is used there, rushing, mighty, that little word mighty there is a vital, activated, it has an idea of a violent force. It is not just a little breath, but a violent, pushy wind, rushing, mighty wind. That little word rushing means to lift up and carry to an appropriate destination. Mighty rushing wind. It is right after this, Pentecost, mighty rushing wind, that Peter, talking about the witness of the wind, he preaches a very short sermon. It's not a long sermon, but 3,000 people get saved. That's pretty good, isn't it? Pretty good. But do you realize, after he preached that sermon, I guarantee you, you wouldn't have let him in this church. Oh, no, 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 no. How come? There's only been 50 days between him and some other shenanigans. 50 days. That ain't long to prove yourself, hon. What's he been doing? He's been cussing. Matter of fact, he said, I don't even know that blankety blank Jew. Cussed. Denied Jesus. And if that ain't bad enough, you talking about a dysfunctional outfit, he likes to preach in the nude. Oh, yeah, when Jesus was there on the shoreline, don't you remember he jumped out of the boat because he was naked? Been out there fishing and nothing on. 50 days later, he preaches a sermon. 3,000 people get saved. Preacher, pray tell, what could have happened in that 50 days that has revolutionized this man's life? One Sunday night, they had the doors locked, and the Son of God come through the walls, and he stood before them, and he did this. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Son, I'm going to tell you something. It revolutionized Peter's life. He never was the same. He was never the same after he got the breath. Could I ask you a nosy question? You ever had any breath of God on you? I mean, it so changed your life. People said, "Gracie, you ain't the same person. You're different." Oh, I'm talking about the Spirit of the Holy One. Well, what is he like? Oh, he's like the wind tonight. Oh, if the wind comes and blows in here tonight, it'll blow some things in, it'll blow some things out. Could I ask you some questions as a close tonight? Do you have the Holy Ghost? Bible said, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. Question number two, do you desire to have more of the Holy Ghost? You know, I was always taught that you get all the Holy Ghost you're going to get when you get saved. Well, you know, if that's true, I don't know why Jesus made the statement He made. He made this statement in the Gospels. He said, "Shall my Father not give much more of the Spirit to them that ask Him?" Honey, I'm interested in that much more stuff. Huh? I was wondering tonight, do you desire to have more of the Spirit? Question number three, do you desire for the Spirit to have more of you? Oh, tonight, what is the Spirit like, preacher? Oh, He's like the wind tonight. If He comes, He'll produce the convincing work of Christ. Preacher, that's the message. Come.
Thank you, Brother Tom. He's sovereign in all of His ways. He blows at His own will. Amen. I'm glad that 34 years ago He blew in my direction. Amen. And I've known Him, and I hope you do too tonight. Amen. I'm glad I don't have to fish like Peter does. I was thinking about what Brother Tom said. Amen.